Hello, welcome back to the FitCast. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and I'm very happy to have someone on the show that I was like trying to get on the show. I looked at the Facebook message. It was in March.
Yeah.
This happens all the time where I'll be like, oh yeah, let's get on the show. And like, you know, we schedule something like, oh man, something came up. And then lo and behold, 6 months later, I'm like, hey, Jesse Nealon, you should come on the show and we should talk about some stuff. And we definitely have some stuff to talk about. So this is Jesse Nealon of Remodel Fitness, jessenealon.com. What's up?
Not much. Feeling good.
Well, you should, because we just recorded a great 20-minute agenda-free segment for the Patreon supporters of the FitCast, where we get into some great books that you're reading, talking about your a little bit of your move out of the city and into Montana, which, you know, is a little bit of a hike. And obviously there's, you know, if you've been following Jesse, like on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and stuff like that, may have been blowing up in the last week. And, just an that's kind of like where we need to start. And I don't like to start the show with a showstopper. Rappers have told me to never do that, but I think it's the most, obvious place to start. And you had a blog post on your website, and it was titled "Why I'm Getting Naked." Obviously this is, you know, I've been following your writing for a while, and, kind of what you've been talking about in terms of getting more comfortable and, you know, just the, and you know what, I might end up closing that window in a second because we got some tracks going by. But before I do that, maybe we can just start there. What was the thought process before you posted this article? Let's definitely talk about the message. And really, like Roger and I were talking about this last episode, just like the unbelievable, you know, courage it takes to make a post like this.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, my writing process is like, I'm constantly either making notes to myself about, like, you know, if you were to go through my notes section of my phone, it's like 7,000 that start with blog post idea. And so I'm constantly writing notes and first drafts that are usually just total garbage. And it's like a bunch of thoughts. And maybe out of those thoughts, I take one idea and I, you know, I move that to my computer later and I write an actual draft or whatever. But then occasionally, and most of my best blog posts have been like, wherever I am that it strikes me, it all comes out. Like the first draft is written on my phone, usually standing, like, you know, I might have started standing in traffic and I have to like move myself to safety because it's like pouring out of me.
You write your blog posts on your phone?
A lot of them, yeah.
Man, that's awesome.
Yeah, man, I'm going to give myself some real good carpal tunnel by the end of this year.
Yeah, right?
So this was one of those that kind of just poured out of me. And I had thought about like nakedness a lot. And actually when I first was coming up with like what I wanted Remodel Fitness to be about and all this stuff, like I had certain ideas around nakedness and then decided not to go with them. And I'm glad because I just wasn't ready. They weren't fully formed yet. Mm-hmm. But like recently a friend of mine, Hunter, do you know, Hunter Fitness?
I do.
Follow him. Okay. So he and I had been texting about like the liberating quality of like doing naked yoga and whether or not we could ever post those and why we couldn't, like what our followers would think basically. And after that, it was just a really quick conversation. But after that quick conversation was like me, you know, like standing halfway up a flight of stairs on my phone, like just the blog post pouring out. So, it was one of those that I felt really sure about from the get go. Like there was no way I wasn't going to post it. I just wasn't sure how I was going to post it. Like what exactly the takeaway message was going to be, and if I was going to be, you know, doing the demonstrating of nakedness, or if it was just going to be talking about why we don't demonstrate nakedness. And so as I started kind of working on it, and I took a bunch of naked photos doing like yoga, different yoga poses and stuff, and it just kind of all came together. And I feel like most of my best blog posts do that; they just come together without me forcing it. So by the time I was ready to hit send, I had warned my mom. That was all I really needed to do. I was like, so mom, remember those photos? Cause I was home actually. I was at her house when I took them, and I was like, by the way, mom, I'm probably going to put a post together with these photos and I promise you it'll make sense. There's a reason. Mm-hmm. And she looked at them and went, not online though. Right. And I was like, well, I'm not sure where else I could post them. So yep, online. And so I just sent her a quick text. Hey, remember those naked photos? They're coming out today. And she was like, thanks for the heads up. But she actually ended up sharing it too on Facebook and writing about how, I've brought awareness to her about what a big problem it is, you know, the amount of body shame and
right.
Yeah. So it, I was only nervous like that last, you know, the last 10 minutes or so, right before I hit publish, where I was like, what am I doing?
What did you do after you hit publish? Did you like get the hell out of the house and like throw your phone in a river?
Well, what I usually do after I hit publish, is I post everything on social media and right. then I wait for like half an hour, because if nobody hits like in the first half hour, then it's going to be a real slow post. Like it probably right. won't get much interactions. So I waited for the first half hour. I texted all my friends, you know, who knew I was going to do this. I said, it's up, read it, let me know what you think. So it started getting more interactions, and it was like around half hour, I realized, okay, this is actually probably going to go somewhere, because it's gotten so many, you know, I can just tell right away. It's like it changes the formula in social media if a bunch of people interact right away.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, this is going to be a thing. A lot of people are going to see this. Mm-hmm. And then I took my boyfriend's dog for a 2-hour expedition around the area because, yes, I had to get out of the house and away from the internet.
Sweet. So maybe if you don't mind, I'm going to read a quick part of the article. And this is, again, we're in the future a little bit. So you guys probably already heard Roger and I talk a little bit about this. And I apologize. We're talking behind your back.
Oh, that's cool.
But you wrote, just as your closing paragraph, I hope that by sharing, you will feel inspired today to let go of some of the layers that you hide your true self behind. I hope that by bearing my heart and body openly without shame, you will start more discussions about why we all feel the need to hide, because there is nothing wrong with you that needs fixing or hiding. Our naked bodies are all fundamentally, inherently, and eternally right, and I challenge you to stop running from them. So, I mean, I think when this, like, from someone who's, like, going down their Facebook feed and I see it, you know, and it's not a graphic picture. It's a, like you said, it's you doing yoga poses and it's, like, in that PG, mm-hmm. You know, nakedness where you get to, like, you could put it in a PG movie. But with this, like, obviously that stands out and that gets people reading it. And when I read that, like, I was like, yeah, exactly. Like, this is something that is one of our biggest hurdles. It's like not only the psychological aspects of this whole thing that we're trying to do as fitness professionals and helping other people, but like even as like a dude, like I don't feel like I want to necessarily go take my shirt off and post pictures of that online right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
it's super gutsy.
And I think especially as fitness professionals, we feel the pressure to look perfect.
Right.
And so one of the things that has been like a little bit defining my brand in the last year has been me going, well, I'm not perfect and I'm not even trying to be. Like I have cellulite and I'm cool with that. And sometimes I gain a little fat and that's fine. And like one is not inherently better than the other. Sometimes I look lean and have a six pack and sometimes I don't. And both are totally fine and normal and good. And I feel like people really, really resonate with that message. Like so many people, I think, love themselves conditionally. Like they only love themselves, you know, on like skinny days or like right. days when their abs show up, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like that's what a lot of my message is about changing is like, you know, with nakedness, like you got to get real. You're going to, there's nothing to hide, you know, and no way to hide it. So, well, putting that out there.
Yeah. And again, this is not a, this discussion that I want to have with you. And, you know, I'm referencing last episode just because people already heard it, but, and this isn't like, I want to say it's like not a gotcha moment, but it's not that where like, when I'm a fitness professional, like I was saying, I can do some pretty cool things in the gym with weight, but I'm not necessarily someone that's going to get up on a Abercrombie and Fitch catalog cover, you know,
yeah.
or if the cover of Men's Health magazine or something like that. But, I look at your photos and I look at, you know, where you're at. And I think I look at you and look like you're in amazing shape, amazing shape. But is that something where, like, for all of us, and I, you know, Brian Patrick Murphy,
oh yeah,
MFF,
yeah, yeah.
Like he was saying like the same thing when I was talking to him, and this, I don't know if this is making any sense, but it's like, Kevin, like, it, also he is like, he will make anyone, he could make like someone who's about to like fall out of an airplane to their death feel awesome about it. But,
so true.
He was like saying, oh, Kevin, you're like jacked, man. You're jacked. You're the man. Like I saw that video yesterday. You look gigantic. Like you're kicking ass. And I'm like, oh, but like, I'm not in like good shape though, but I guess it's always that comparison, right? And I don't know, yeah. Is that like the message that you're trying to also like bring into it, is like it's all about like us comparing ourselves to other people?
Well, that's a huge part of it for sure. I think especially with women, it's like we're not just comparing ourselves to each other. That would kind of be great, all right, things considered, but we're comparing each other to images that were shown in like mainstream media and entertainment and porn and magazines and everything, you know, of like fake bodies that have been fakely edited. You know, it's so many layers removed from real that naturally we look at our own selves and we're like, well,
like who gets to like shoot a sex scene in a movie with makeup all over their body?
Right. Too. Exactly. And like, you know, a lot of times we're seeing people who've been genetically selected to look a certain way and go into entertainment and modeling industries. Mm-hmm. And then not only that, but they have the makeup, they have the personal trainer, they have the personal chef, mm-hmm, you know, they've got Photoshop. It's like, there's just so much standing between us and real other bodies. And so that's a big part of it for sure. And I think for men, you know, there is a similar thing undoubtedly, maybe a little less wrapping of layers on layers, but for sure, you guys have your own things that you're holding up your bodies against and comparing against, and it makes everyone feel less than.
Well, I'll be real. Like, you know, we were mentioning Hunter earlier. Like, man, the dude's jacked. Like the dude's jacked. He's ripped. And you know,
do you want to know? He probably wouldn't love me telling this, but he's not just bubbling over with confidence either. You know, I mean, when we were having that conversation, it was like, do I feel secure enough to post this about my body?
Man, humans are friggin' weird.
Right? And so I feel like by bringing light to it is like, we all kind of think these thoughts like secretly to ourselves. Like, mm-hmm, oh God, I hate my body. I bet everyone else loves theirs because they look great. But like literally everyone is having these thoughts. So I feel like a big part of my mission is to bring light to it, because shame can't really function if you shine light on it. Like, you can't really be ashamed and talk about it at the same time. So I think the more we kind of bring it to light and talk about it and show everyone, hey, this isn't like a weird secret of yours, this is all of us together. That's kind of the only way that we can start to change it.
Well, let me ask you, and this is this was like the gotcha part where I was like mentioning, like, yeah, like I look at Jessie and she looks like she's in amazing shape. Like, she's in the fitness industry, and you know, when you have people that, and I didn't reference you, but like people that are like bodybuilders or whatever, you know, telling people that they should feel happy with the way that they look when they look like galaxies away.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
From them, I'll look at it and be like, yeah, you're saying that because you're like, you're perfect. I'm not saying this is what you're doing. I'm not saying this is your message was the exact opposite. I mean, to be honest, but like, you know, what can we do better as like fitness professionals instead of maybe to avoid that? Or am I just talking out of my butt?
Oh my God, no, that's great. So I actually had a phone call with someone recently, because I'm writing this TEDx talk that I'm doing, and she is very entrenched in like the fat acceptance movement. Mm-hmm. And so I called her and I just was like, hey, like, I'm so curious and I want to bounce this around, because I almost feel like I don't deserve to tell anyone, you know, to like love your curves, when, not like I don't have any curves, but a lot of people are going to look at me and go, yeah, great, I'd love my curves too if they look like yours. Right. And there is a certain level of beauty privilege or fitness privilege that comes with looking a certain way. And she and I just kind of like got really honest. And she said, for example, for her cause, so she does a lot of fat acceptance and like post eating disorders and loving your body in whatever, you know, healthy size it can come in. Mm-hmm. And so she said, you know, for me, it's like, I'd love to talk more about like obesity, but that's not my place. I can support the people who are talking about finding self-esteem within obesity, but that's not me. And so I don't have a place in that conversation other than support. And so that's kind of how I started to think about it. It's like, I will never say, you know, curvy is better. That would be a crazy thing for me to say. Mm-hmm. mean, I don't think anything is better than anything. So that's a big part of my message. But I also, I recognize the limits to what I essentially can say and be helpful and who I'm helping, because most people who are taking what I say and really hearing it want to look like me or want, you know what I mean? Like there really is, you can't get away from that. And I even said, like, part of me wishes I just were like 20 pounds heavier so I could say what I wanted to say and have value in that. And she was laughing and she was like, I know, like, you know, but you can't, and you are where you are. And if someday you gained 20 pounds, then you would be there, but that would be different. And it's just, it's a really interesting thing to start thinking about, like, where do you belong in this conversation, and who are you reaching, and who should you be reaching, and who do you just support?
Damn. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Well, where do we go from here, Jesse? Okay. So you have the blog post, you have the blog post that goes up, and obviously you must have gotten some incredible feedback. Lots of people messaging you. Like I definitely saw some comments on the post that you made on Facebook and stuff like that. So, what did you get in terms of feedback? And, then seriously, like what's the next step? Where do we go from here?
Yeah, well, the feedback has been awesome. I mean, I was pretty prepared for whatever, you know, for some negativity, for getting flagged on Facebook, for you know, crude sexual comments. Like, I was just prepared for
what. Like, flagged on, like, oh, taken down off Facebook?
Yeah,
like
you can report someone for, like, seeing butt cheeks if you want. So someone
could. Seeing butt cheeks. Yeah. Oh, the butt cheek button. Oh, yeah, yeah. Forgot about that. It's
the little
emoji.
And then there's the butt cheek. Yeah, so I was just kind of prepared for whatever, you know. I was like throwing things up in the air and seeing what would happen. And I've said this to my friends before, but like sometimes I'll text them and say, hey, which of these three options of a blog title would you click on?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like my friend might write back, oh, well, number three sounds like clickbait. And I'd go, does that mean you'd click on it? He's like, no, I meant that like as an insult. Like it sounds like clickbait. And I was like, right, but do you think people would click on it? Because all I care about is that people are going there and reading it and taking away whatever they want.
Hmm.
You know, like the title is of no real importance to me because I think the material speaks for itself. You'll either vibe with it or you won't, but no one can vibe with it if they don't read it. So with this one, I was honestly just so happy it was getting read. It was getting views that like I said, like I couldn't have cared less if people hated it, but I just was like, you know, I feel really good about what I put out there. And so if this starts discussions, I'm happy. I'm just happy people are talking about it, reading it and talking about it. But then the feedback was just so awesome. It was like tons of like, you've really inspired me or wow, this was courageous. A lot of shares, a lot of shares from people, you know, who I don't even know read my work, which is always a funny thing on Facebook where I'm like, wow, I haven't talked to you since middle school. And apparently you follow my blog. That's so nice.
The internet.
I know. So it's just been really great. And then it's like the worst thing that happened, you know, because I've had people go, oh, have you gotten lots of like lewd sexual comments? And I was like, no. The
really?
Worst thing that, yeah, not at all. The worst like of all of it was maybe one guy messaged me something to the effect of like, damn, you look great. I wouldn't mind seeing more of that body, which, you know, I ignored. But it was like not even that rude. It was just like a little bit like, okay, well, you maybe missed the point. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
And then this other person wrote like actually in the comments of the blog. What was it? You could be a porn star. Good luck with everything. Yoga Jenna Jameson or something like that. And honestly, like,
what?
I know it doesn't even make sense, but I just, oh, and then at the bottom of that one, he wrote, by the way, I didn't have time to read the article.
Like, well, at least you're honest.
Yeah. Right. Thanks. Awesome. So yeah, I just feel like that if that's the worst that I attracted, then I put the right energy out
there.
That's
pretty successful.
You know, that's how I feel. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, and like part two, what is the next step? I mean, you definitely have the discussion going on. What can people do to start feeling more comfortable in their skin and not to be, you know, having to try on 48 different things before they go out, making sure that it is the thing that makes them look the best?
Yeah. Honestly, Kevin, if I had an answer for that, I'd be a millionaire.
Yeah, where's the book?
I know. I mean, I guess that's the thing is like, it's what I'm obsessed with. It's what I'm constantly talking about and thinking about and writing about and trying to find new ways, new practices, new angles. You know, I don't know because it's not as simple as just like, hey, just do these things and then it'll all be over, because we're constantly going to be inundated with the same stuff. Like, we're never going to get away from any of the like advertising or marketing or whatever stuff is like, you know, blasting us and making us feel terrible about ourselves. So I don't really have an answer. I just have a thousand ways that might help someone, you know, like that's what I feel like the collection of my work is, just like a ton of different ways of thinking about it, or places to go from where you are to one step further towards comfortable. And I wish, honestly, I wish I had a system. I wish I was the Tracy Anderson of body image and I could just come up with, like, you know, steps 1 through 30 and you follow them and you're healed. But it's just so big. It's such a big and complicated topic.
Yeah, I don't think you want to associate. Okay. So if I was really good at, you know, editorializing this stuff and being a good host, I would have asked you, so Jesse, how did you get into all this stuff? Because you know, we talked a little bit about this in the Agenda Free segment, but we, you know, before talking on Skype, we've never talked before. So the most I know about you is, you know, from your writing over the last year or so. So how did you get into this stuff? Why did you want to do this?
Well, I got into fitness. I got into personal training like, 7 years ago now, I guess, maybe more. And that was totally random.
So how old are you?
I'm 28.
Okay.
And yeah, I got into it pretty randomly. I just needed a job and someone was like, you look fit. I'm sure my boss would hire you at my gym. And so, yeah, I got into it that way and discovered, you know, I was like in New York City trying to be an actor, but not really.
Did you want to do like stage stuff or did you want to do like movies, TV stuff?
I guess both. Yeah. It's hard to remember now. It feels like a million years ago. I guess both. But you know, I had gone to school for it and that's why I moved out of my hometown into New York City. And that was sort of my grand plan. Cool. But being broke and taking this job and suddenly kind of realizing, hey, actually this is something I really, really like. I like working one-on-one with someone. I like, dealing with bodies, which is something that I'd always felt very strongly about. Body image and confidence. So yeah, it kind of just lined up and made sense. And then one day I was talking to parents of a friend of mine and they were like, well, why don't you have a website? You know, it seems like you should have a website. And I was like, oh, you know, have you ever tried to make a website? It's like the hardest thing ever. It's like the most frustrating. Like it makes me want to throw myself out a window just trying to, like, you know, just do like the simplest coding of something. And they were like, oh, well, you know, like we invest in people. Have you ever considered in like asking for someone to invest in you as a startup or something? I was like, no, I never considered that. That's crazy. But them being the parents of my friend, they said, okay, well, if you ever do consider it, you know where to find us. And I sat with that for a while and I was like, oh shit, I have to do that, don't I? Like, that's what I need to push myself into doing what I really believe in, and like making a brand that is based on what I want to be out there, as opposed to just being a person who works a job, you know? So yeah, I started getting real about what I wanted and spending a lot of time thinking about, what I wanted my message to be. And, you know, like within a year, like I presented all my ideas to them. It was so great. Yeah, they've like changed my life in so many ways, but, yeah, they were like, how much can you afford and how much support do you need and how do you expect to make money and all this stuff. And, yeah, Remodel Fitness was born. And I think that the message here has always, you know, it's always been very similar, but I'm getting clearer and clearer and clearer on it as time goes on. So my writing, I think, is getting better just 'cause I'm doing more of it and because I'm, you know, talking to more people and finding more ways and angles. And it's like, I read more books and I feel like I'm getting better and better at it, but I've always had this desire. Like, this is what I've always wanted to be making and doing. I just think I'm finally kind of like, you know, it's, I don't know, working maybe.
So, where do we want to jump to next? Well, I mean, I definitely want to make sure that we have time to talk about, your transition out of the city, because you've been talking about being in New York all this time. And, I mean, you've taken, I don't know, is it a big leap to leave New York City behind and go on a new adventure?
Oh my God. Huge. Yeah. I mean, I've been there for 9 years and for most of the time, I think I was like more scared of New York City than I was of leaving.
So where'd you grow up?
I grew up upstate New York, sort of by Syracuse, but mostly by cows and tractors.
Right.
And so, yeah, so it was a big change from like super small town to New York City. And so it was like a huge culture shock. It was very hard, but I kind of liked that, you know. It was, I feel like, a bit of a romantic thing. Like, I'll just suffer here and be broke because I don't know, I have integrity or something, or I'm an artist. I don't know. But somewhere along the way, as I was like building this business and figuring out like not only how to be happy and find a social scene that fit me and make money, it was like everything just kind of started to work. And yeah. And then I realized at some point that I was more scared of leaving New York than I was of staying. And I had always kind of wanted to check out other stuff, you know, like outdoorsy stuff and traveling stuff. And part of the reason that I wanted my business to be online was so that someday I would be mobile. And I wasn't really doing anything mobile. I was like just always at my computer at random cafes in Manhattan, you know. So when I decided to leave, it was very much like following a gut impulse that it was time and I was ready to explore other stuff and I could always return to New York if I wanted. But it's been a huge change. And right now I'm homeless. I mean, I don't live in Montana. I'm just staying here for a while. And then I'm like in October, I'm going back to Syracuse to give this TEDx talk. And then I'm flying to Tahoe and then like traveling around California a bit. And then honestly, my plan is that's it. That's all I have. So, yeah, there's like a lot of places I'd like to see and people I'd like to spend time with. And I'm now a nomad and it's weird and it's completely different than what I was doing. And I was also training clients, so I'm not doing that, like, you know, in-person personal training anymore. So that was a huge thing to give up, probably the hardest part of all of it, honestly, because I loved that.
Mm-hmm. So it's like kind of like leaving your kids behind?
Yeah, my poor clients. Yeah, it's just, it's been really interesting, and it's so new. I feel like I don't even really know how I feel about it. It's just a little bit of like, I work when I can. I take my, I have online coaching clients, so it's like I prioritize that. I write, I read, I try to relax, which is something I never did in New York. So it's been interesting.
So you have all this stuff, you know, going on, and like, what is like the next step for you? Do you have this plan, or is it just like, yeah, let's just see where this goes?
Yeah. No plan. No plan at all.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, there's a couple other things I want to hit on. You know, first off, since you mentioned it, going back to Syracuse to do a talk at TEDx, like what's that all about? What are you going to be talking about? How's it shaping up?
Well, good. I mean, it's my first talk of any sort ever, so I'm beyond terrified. I can't even tell you.
How are your PowerPoint skills?
Well, I'm not going to use PowerPoint, I think, because it's just too complicated and they said you don't have to.
Okay.
I think it probably would add something, but it wouldn't add enough for me to like want to stress about getting all that stuff done. Because I'm still like, I wish you could see me right now. I'm literally surrounded in note cards.
Perfect.
I'm still like shaping up the draft of it. And I mean,
how much time do you have?
You're allowed to talk for 18 minutes. It can't be more, but I'm hoping to be like around 12 because I think that's just better. I don't think you need to talk for that long to make a point. Mm-hmm. And also, so the cool thing about TEDx is like, if you get enough hits on that website, they'll move you over to the TED Talk website. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just like the more likely that people are going to click on a 12-minute talk rather than a 17-minute talk, like those are things that I've sort of been thinking about. But so the name of my talk is The Case for Radical Vanity, and very much in line with what we were just talking about, because it's kind of all in line. I'm making the argument that body image and self-esteem have gotten so low and so negative, and that it's so deeply ingrained in how we talk to ourselves and each other and, like, you know, cultural stuff, that that there's really no way we can go from that to neutral. And I think a lot of the acceptance movements out there, like fat acceptance or health at every size, like their whole goal is to move you from nasty, negative, hateful to I'm fine, you know, like to, you're fine, to a neutral place. And so I'm making the argument that instead of aiming for neutral, in which case I think you still land somewhere in very negative, that we should aim for like delusionally, comically positive, which I'm calling radical vanity. So both in how we talk to ourselves and how we talk to each other, I'm sort of making the case to to fight fantasy with fantasy, you know, because our levels, like the way we look at ourselves and our own bodies, are so distorted and negative that I think we have to fight them with distortedly positive. So that's kind of what I'm talking about.
So what does that look like? What does that mindset look like for people out there?
What does that look like? I guess I don't know how to answer that. It's kind of about just finding ways of reframing, looking at yourself from a new point of view. So one of my most popular blog posts was called My Deep Dark Self-Love Secret. Mm-hmm. And it was all about like looking in the mirror and borrowing the point of view or the eyes of someone who thinks you're absolutely perfect and like consciously practicing this, you know, like you would practice yoga, like looking in the mirror and spending time admiring yourself and saying nice things to yourself and looking for what you love and reframing what you don't love as something else. And that the idea of like using a different point of view, you know, it's kind of like creating an alter ego. It gives you a free pass to get out of the distorted reality that you're in. Mm-hmm. And one of my ideas for a reframe is like, how would you look to a toddler who has no sense of shame or ugliness? You know, what would you see in the mirror if you borrowed the eyes of a child who doesn't know better, who doesn't know that you're supposedly so, you know, disgusting and fat or whatever it is that you think. So like spending time borrowing points of views and reframing and it's basically like about mental training because we've been practicing hating ourselves for mostly our whole lives. Mm-hmm. And there's this thing called a cognitive distortion, which is just like where the brain, the neural pathways, whatever you're training your brain for, it just gets stronger and stronger and stronger. So if you engage in distorted thinking and look at your body and say, I'm disgusting, look at those thighs. And that's where your brain goes over and over. It's like you end up in a fun house. Like you're not really looking at reality at all. So my sort of idea is like, how can we reframe and go the other direction and at least spend some time there? Because you're never going to get rid of the other, you know, you're never going to get rid of that negative point of view probably, but the less and less power you can give it, the better. So the more time you spend on the far end of the spectrum, the more chance we have at actually hitting somewhere in the middle.
Got it. Cool. Yeah. Man, I hope we can figure this stuff out at some point in our lives.
I know.
Because it's like, you know, the way that, I mean, this is, it's like a, not even like a tug of war. It's like you have 15 different ropes that are tied to this one central knot and you have all these different things pulling at them. And for, you know, for this discussion, like I'm thinking, you know, one of the most negative things that we have in the world now is fat shaming. It's making people that feel terrible feel even more terrible. And how do we make them comfortable with who they are now and then turn the flow of the water in the opposite direction and then get them into a more healthier lifestyle? I don't know. It's not like a one step process. It's obviously like a multi-step process, but how do you look at that stuff? How do you, you know, where do you think, you know, people should start if they are in that place?
I mean, well, when I work with clients one-on-one, it's like, well, I'll always meet them wherever they are. And it's always about like moving one step forwards from there. Mm-hmm. As a general statement, it's just so hard to answer because where are you and what got you there? And
right. That's a super loaded question, huh?
It's a super loaded question. So I think like with the talk, I was trying to come up with a way of simplifying, boiling down into a really like easily digestible an understandable sort of point of view, which is that we have a say in how we think about ourselves. Like, yes, this culture is certainly making it very difficult to love yourself. That's not going to change. So what we can do is more like brain training. Like we have a choice in reframing the same way we have a choice in like, you know, being happy. You have to choose and practice to be happy. We can all be unhappy with everything we want in life if we let that happen. And we can all be happy without having anything we want in life if we, you know, work at that and make that a conscious choice. So I think it's about making the conscious choice to do this kind of work and do whatever it takes to change the way you view yourself. Radical vanity is just like one, you know, I think easily understandable way of reframing all this shit. When I do work with clients one-on-one, it's like there's a million ways, a tiny ways that you can reframe whatever it is you're looking at. One thing, actually, I think this is kind of one of the funnier things in the talk, is I talk about reframing, like, so for example, society will tell you that there's all these things you have to change. But if you were to really look at yourself, you know, from like a curious and childlike point of view, you might decide that, you don't want to change those things at all. Like, for example, I'm not going gray. I just have all these like super rad blinged out natural highlights. And I don't have cellulite. I just have like super fancy embellished fat. You know, it's like lace. It's very fancy. So I don't know. These are ways that it's kind of silly and it can make people laugh, but it can also make people think, like, you have a choice in how you see yourself and you have to consciously use that choice or you'll get pushed into hating yourself. And most of us are going to be fighting that hate most of the time, you know, but the stuff that is up to you, like, you better work for. If you want to see any kind of change, you just have to take advantage of that choice.
Damn, that's a showstopper. That's where we're going to end it. I like it.
Okay.
All right. So here's the deal, folks. We've talked to Jesse for, you know, about 40 minutes. We got another 20 minutes for the Patreon supporters that are going to be coming up after this. And this is what we do. If you've listened to this show for a while, we have people on for the first time and we like to do a little brief introduction and get the ball rolling. And then to continue the game, the folks out there, you need to start tweeting and posting stuff on Facebook and emailing me and say, you know, this is the stuff that we want to talk about next time you have Jesse on. And we're going to get her back on to talk more about this stuff. So you mentioned that you're very social media literate. So where can people find you on? I know you're on Facebook, you're on Twitter and Instagram. Where's the best place for people to check out what you got coming up in your articles and stuff?
I would say Instagram is like at Remodel Fitness NYC.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very active on there. I really love Instagram. And then, I guess Facebook would be the other place. So, my Remodel Fitness page on Facebook, I'm always posting, at least like I try to post every day.
Nice.
And so anytime there's blogs or whatever, you can always find them, but I also put out a lot of other content. So
awesome. Got
yeah.
lots of cool stuff coming up, Jesse.
Yeah, thanks. I'm excited.
Well, for everyone else out there, there will be more shows coming to you down the road. But in the meantime, it would mean a lot if you thought the show was worth supporting and you could kick, you know, like $1 per episode to help make the production possible so I can set aside the time, pay the bills. And, you know, it's not magic. Podcasts don't edit themselves and hosting is not free. And with the career going, it's tough to make these happen. So everyone that does help support it, you are the superstars. You are why I don't have 30 minutes of ads in the podcast. So you guys are the best. And thank you so much. Also, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. If you submit a review on there, if you enjoy it, if you like it, if you think it's 5-star worthy, that would be really great because it helps the show get bumped up and bump away some of those shows that probably don't have great people like Jesse Neeland on and Raj Law and Brian Patrick Murphy and like Jill Coleman and Jen Sink. Like, damn, like I've had four really good back-to-back shows. It's like, that's a
awesome.
Good lineup. And BPM, I'm going to call him, I think he's going to be back on for next episode. We got to finish our discussion. So, he's a busy man and hopefully he's going to get a little bit closer to the wireless signal next time, but, we'll be good. And of course you can, if you want to, follow me on, Twitter at Kevin Larrabee. I'm at Kevin Larrabee on Instagram. I'm late to the Instagram party, but I think I've been pretty effective getting at least one thing up a day, which is good. And at Fitcast on Twitter too, if you want to stay up to date. And if you just want to say, hey, Kev, like, you know, this part of the show is good, do more of this stuff, or have this person back on again, or ask this question next time. I'm always asking for questions. So if you want to have your questions answered by the incredible people that take the time to jump on Skype to talk into a microphone, that's the way to do it. So, Jesse, thank you so much for taking the time out of your crazy schedule right now with travel and everything to get this done. And we'll definitely be talking down the road.
Thanks. Awesome. It was great.